gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
We had!
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh, yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal with your Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic, as always. Great to have another show for the fans. Great to have all of my cohorts with me. So before we get it started, let me turn it over to my man Ronnie. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. We're going to talk a little bit about the people who cover the game. We talk about how the game is covered, breaking down the media. What do we want? What do we not want? How do we want to see the action? And what led to the discussion was a great piece on the Section 357 blog. Make sure you check that out by my man, L.A. Trey. L.A. Trey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, what is going on? Once again, the Four Horsemen ride set out, set destruction on the all things hip-hop and sports. Let's get this thing started.
You can always find the Section 357 show on Twitter at Section 357. Also, you can subscribe to the show via Podomatic. Also, you can find us on iTunes as well as the Stitcher app for mobile devices. As Ron mentioned, Trey wrote a piece for the blog. It talked about some wanted improvements for the NFL. A couple of those were media related. Now, one of them talked about a device, a technical advancement as it relates to a helmet cam. But the other one was more or less talking about how we see the game and giving us some inside access to the on-the-field perspective and maybe giving us an uncensored feed when it comes to the NFL. And we thought that perhaps we could extend that to all sports. So let's start there with Trey's blog piece. Trey, what made you think that those two developments, in particular both the helmet cam and maybe even the uncensored stream, were two things that you really wanted to see from the sports world?
As a fan of just sports in general, there's nothing better than getting a more intimate knowledge of why you love the game. And what I mean by intimacy, I mean by getting into the real nitty-gritty, the unfiltered, the having the ability to actually be there with your favorite player. The XFL, an experiment that the then World Wrestling Federation put together, had a couple of good ideas, one of them being the helmet cam. Now, the helmet cam, in case you're unfamiliar with this, was a camera that was put inside of the helmet of the players. It gave us, the viewers, a first-person view of what it's like to be that running back hitting that hole, going around the corner, being the quarterback looking downfield, looking for the open receivers, it gave you a better appreciation of what it means to play at that level. It lets you have an opportunity to see the speed, how difficult it is to make these decisions on the fly. And also, another thing that I personally loved was HBO's takes of Hard Knock Life and their ability to kind of get behind the curtain as to what goes on the NFL playing field and in the locker room. And I was thinking, I'm like, well, what would be better than to have an uncensored NFL where you can hear all the trash talk, see what goes on behind the line, completely safe from corporate sponsorship or commercials or whatever it is, something uncut. And the only way you can do that is to let the players do and say what they normally do as if they weren't being watched. So let's try and be the fly on the wallpaper in all sporting events, not just football, so we can get a better appreciation of why we love the game.
Pete, let me jump in here because I love your idea, and certainly with the helmet cam, as much as I'm an X's and O's guy, I would love to see what the QB sees. You know, when we look at the All-22 tape and we're like, well, how did he see this receiver running wide open down the field? And with the helmet cam, we could perhaps see that the quarterback just never looked that way due to the rush that was coming or whatever. But allow me to play devil's advocate when it comes to this uncensored mic, this uncensored channel, this uncensored thing that could only really happen on a premium channel like HBO. My problem is that it's such a niche market. It's too much of a specified market that there's not enough profitability in it. So I like the concept, Trey, but if I'm going to play devil's advocate, I'm going to say that there's not enough money to be made off of having something like that. And with that, let me toss it over to Floyd or Ronnie. Y'all jump in.
Fellas, we had a guest, Anthony Alabi, on our show back in the day. And he sort of pulled the curtain back a little bit about what goes on in NFL locker room and sort of the culture. So I guess I'll shift this over to Floyd. And Trey, talking about the helmet camera, talk about access into the locker room, we talk about Hard Knocks. If you are Goodell, Adam Silver, if you are Bud Selig, and they pitch this idea to your league, is this something that you would be willing to sign up for? Because as Dee talked about, you really kind of get into sort of the underbelly of professional sports. You talk about a locker room, a practice, a meeting room. And there are going to be some things that you're not going to like as a fan. So, Floyd, do you want that shown as how your league looks? Is this something that you as a commissioner, upper executive league, would want?
As a consumer of sports, I think it's a very dynamic idea and I would love to see it. But as a commissioner of sports, when you're looking at who you're trying to market the entire sport to, I would have some concern only because you can try to say what you want. The NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA have always tried to make their sports as family friendly as possible. So even the existence of an uncensored portion of their sport that some fans will have access to, it would eventually find its way into the mainstream conversation, which is not what you want. And I think that it would give a different view of the players, the league, that you probably can't control as much. And if you can't control it, then it's hard to profit from it because the corporate sponsor may not want to be involved at all, even with just the existence of this very narrow component. I go back to some of the players that we know and love growing up, Michael Jordan, for example. Like, let's just say there was an uncensored sports network, which would be really awesome. But let's just say there was an uncensored sports network in general, which would take into effect all of the major sports. A guy like Michael Jordan, who I would say the general fan didn't know really his personality, right? But if you have a chance to see who he was on the court, maybe he's not the likable guy. Maybe you don't want to be like Mike. Maybe you can't sell tennis shoes or Gatorade or whatever. So I'm not sure how far this could really help the sport or the athlete. I just think it's really an outlet with just the end consumer in mind.
Now, T, before we get on, there's two things I want to say here. First off, and I think we're going to get into this some, but I still am a fan of having all of this access to our athletes. I really do want this all access. But again, as I'm saying, I'm playing devil's advocate here. And one of the reasons that NFL players, even right now, don't like having mics, especially on the center or the offensive lineman, is because that they feel that it's revealing too much. And I'm sure the same goes in the NBA or in the NHL or the MLB. You know, you don't want other teams stealing your sign. So the more access that you have, the harder it is to have your code words or your signs or your play calls or whatever. But even beyond that, to the point that was just made, what if it goes to hurt the marketability of players? And I know one of the things that you want is that you want to be able to use this to market a sport, but what if it hurts the superstar, the so-called superstar that's supposed to be the family guy, if you see him on the court or the field or the pitch or whatever, you know, dropping F-bombs left and right? How does that help the game? So with those things in mind, with the lack of play-calling ability from a confidentiality, from a protecting your play standpoint, and also from protecting the image of an athlete, defend your point.
Okay, well, first off, let me start off by saying that I don't think that this is possible today. Let me just first say that right now. However, I do think that it is inevitable in the future. I think it's going to happen. It's just a question of when. And I guess some of the reasons why it couldn't happen today are, is one, the type of athlete that we have now isn't as much of a dual athlete. And what I mean by dual, I mean an athlete on the field and a media savvy individual as well. In order to live in this type of world, you have to have a type of media savvy that is just as strong as your physical prowess on the playing field. And right now, the majority, I think, of our athletes right now don't have that. And we're coming up with kids now that are like 13, 14 years old who have known nothing but social media their entire life. They have lived their life in public, and that's all they know. And they will become accustomed, once they hit the big scene as athletes and professional athletes, them being on constant 24-hour display will be normal to them. It'll be like a fish in water. It seems odd to us because we were never grew up in that time period where there was such a thing as privacy, and the things that you did when you stepped outside of your house was your own. These players in that time period won't live that type of lifestyle, and they'll be able to handle it. Somebody like Michael Jordan back in the 90s would probably be a disaster today because, you know, he might have led a totally different lifestyle than what the cameras portrayed. Secondly, there would have to be some type of restrictions. It can't just be a complete free-for-all with cameras recording everything because you have to protect your players. So I would probably assume that whoever it is that controls those cameras would probably be somebody on that team that would turn it off for the quarterback as he's looking down at his wrist to check out the plays or anything that could be sensitive to messing up the flow of the game. And finally, with the type of technology that we have at our hands with our phones, there's a camera right now, one of the Nokias, that shoots like 12 megapixel cameras. I mean, that's good enough to blow up on a gigantic billboard, and the technology is only going to get better. So we're going to have people in the stands with Zoom-type equipment on their phones in the next 10 years. This is a very real thing. So the real deal of the NFL is going to come to you regardless if you want it or not. I would advise the NFL or any sports industry to jump ahead of it now before it gets to the point where they can't control it.
And Trey, you talked about the technology. You mentioned possibly something HBO thing, premium channel feed, which leads me to kind of my point on the coverage and as technology advances. Fellas, are we headed to the point where eventually
all of this just becomes pay-per-view? Because you talk about the advancing technology, which of course is an advanced cost to broadcast these games. We've seen the NFL struggle and other leagues struggle with selling out tickets for people to come to the game because the technology is so great. The comfort of being at home and watching the ball game is there. Is that the next direction as far as game? Because to me, you're already seeing things like bowl games pretty much be taken off of network TV. Most of your playoff games in the NBA, for instance, are covered on TNT, ESPN, that's cable. Are we headed to the day, Floyd, and I'll kick this over to you, where you not only to get the premium content, but to get just regular game action? Are we headed to pay-per-view pretty much in all sports eventually? I know you pay for it in some way with cable. Are we talking about almost a complete pay-per-view across the board to do some of these things that Trey talked about?
I think that the issue is going to hinge on what the relationship is like between networks and cable providers, like a Time Warner Cable or a Comcast, Xfinity, or what have you. So I believe that, with that being said, depending on what those contracts say and what they can deliver, our viewing experience is going to be changed somewhat. And I do think that as technology continues to advance and they find different ways to monetize this, yeah, you'll start to find that the league will give you different camera angles and different access for a fee because they know they can charge for it. At some point, you're going to hit a ceiling as far as your TV penetration. And as you look for new devices, new platforms, and the cost associated with that, for right now, it's free because they're still trying to figure it out. But once they get a good handle on it, they'll start to make it for pay, much like some of the newspapers have begun to have paywalls for their .com platforms there.
I think you hit on a good point, Hall. I think the future of television is also going to be an a la carte style. As the amount of choices that we have grows, I think the viewing audience's approach to television is becoming diluted. So I think the only way that you can fight that is to, instead of giving people 350 channels, I think cable stations and broadcast companies are going to start offering certain channels that you can pick, mix and match, and then that'll be your particular package. With that being said, if you equate that to sports, instead of me following all 32 teams, I can just follow like my Titans and I don't know the Rams or whatever it is, and then you can probably even get it down even closer to like, okay, well now I just want to follow just Chris Johnson and Jay Glocker, okay, and then I want to just follow, and then we'll have like iPad access as well, where my iPad will just follow everything that CJ does while the television follows the Titans wherever it is. And as that demand increases, I think you're going to see more of niche-type viewing. And it's all about the demand of what we want as fans. If we want that and we push for it, then sports companies aren't going to have any other choice but to meet that demand or lose it to somebody else who's willing to make that sacrifice.
To Ronnie's question, the answer is no. To Ronnie's original question, the answer is no. One of the things that has made the NFL great, one of the things that have made the NBA and MLB great, is that you have access to it on your generic channels. Anybody with an antenna can get an NFL game. It might not be the game you want to see, but you can get an NFL game. But to the discussion that we're having, certainly I think that you're going to see the various sports find out a way to get money. And it might not necessarily be through like an unfiltered channel like HBO or Showtime or something like that. But the NFL or the NBA might offer a package that allows you to pay a little extra. And you even see this now as it's going. Certainly with the NFL, certainly see this with the NBA. You pay a little extra. All of a sudden, now you can start following your own team. And then as Trey said, I think it might start to get even more specialized with this second screen, with the ability to watch a game on your TV and then watch it at the same time on your iPad or on your laptop or whatever, or in your Kindle or whatever it is. And with that, you can follow a certain team or a certain position or a certain player. And with that, there's a revenue stream there. So that's the way that the teams can make money. You know, you start to say, yes, you know, you can buy access to all the NFL games, but, you know, you pay an extra $10, and now you can follow all the players on your fantasy team, or, you know, all the point guards in the league, or all the league leaders and home run hitters. So that's the way that they're going to start getting you.
And to add on to that, it is actually already happening. I know with the new Xbox One that just came out, they have a fantasy football feature that allows you to keep track of all your fantasy football players. I know on DirecTV has a NASCAR type of format where you can follow just the driver, and it'll show the pit crew as well. So the fine-tuning of the individual sports is already happening. I think it's just the unedited, uncensored version of what we're trying to find, I think, is the root of the question. And if it's possible, and what would be the big blowback, do you guys think, of the uncensored? Something that we might not necessarily see coming.
Trey, from my standpoint, I definitely want to look at football first. So in the case of the NFL, I think that there's a difference between video and audio. So let me say that first. I think that much like you see with the existing camera angles, they can give you different camera angles. You even see the guy on the sideline who gets ran over, you know, at least once or twice a game. They don't have the sound on it, but they give you the visual. I think that with the advances in video technology, I can definitely see a lot more video angles of plays. I just think that the audio part of it is where you can't necessarily have the same type of control over what gets out. And if the league is in a position of trying to maintain control, maintain marketing dollars, et cetera, then the audio part is the part that to me has the most, the biggest hurdle to get over. But as far as the video stuff, I can definitely see more camera angles just to give you that real in-your-face, you know, experience of what it's like to get hit, of what it's like to see the play develop, all of the above. But the audio part, I think that there's more to lose than there is to gain with that.
Fellas, let's take a music break right here. And when we come back, speaking of how this is covered, we're going to talk about the sports media. And has sports media devolved into TMZ? And is this really what we want as fans and consumers? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Section 357 show.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. And we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows just knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Section 357 show. Find us on Twitter at Section 357 and pass the word to your friends. Part two of this discussion about the media and technology angle of sports relates to, I guess, the salacious side of our pop culture perspective. So, Big Shot Rhyme, take us through maybe the TMZ effect of the sports media culture nowadays.
It doesn't matter whether it's athlete X is dating debutante X. It doesn't even matter if we're talking about who's getting hired, who's getting fired. It seems that the sports media world has been taken over by the TMZ effect. It's a lot of rumors, a lot of innuendos. My sources say this, so-and-so was seen here. And I just want to kick this around the horn, fellas, because sports fans tend to believe that they are above the gossipy side. The salacious side is, as Floyd so eloquently put. And let me start with you, Trey, because you live in L.A. where the paparazzi is king and all of that. As a sports fan, is the gossip side, the salacious side, is that something as a fan you want? Is that something you need or something that you could care to live without in this day and age?
I'm all about moderation. If I have a favorite player and I'm following them, then there's going to be a part of me that is going to be a little curious of what goes on when they're not shooting the basket or running it 15 yards to the house. But the problem is that paparazzi style reporting is going overboard with it. And it's getting to the point where it's not just asking curious questions of what goes on with your favorite player. It's getting to the point now where it's how badly can we damage this person and affect their output on the field of play. I'll go back to the Florida State quarterback that was the Heisman running of Winston. He was accused of rape, and whether it happened or not, it was seems kind of odd to everybody that it didn't really come out until almost a year after the fact when he was in the Heisman running. I mean, we're looking at Aaron Rodgers during the playoffs, during a time when he's just bouncing back from a major injury, and now we've got like this paparazzi style reporting where, you know, he's being accused of having a gay lover. Whether it's true or it's not, these type of accusations through the press is going to have an effect on the person's play. I mean, who's to say that Rodgers during his playoff game didn't have that in the back of his mind and didn't play according to how he typically does? Or to say the same thing to sway votes for the Florida State quarterback Winston from getting into the Heisman. That's when I think it oversteps its boundaries. So there has to be some type of, I don't know, some type of way of monitoring it, or even if that's even possible. But I think if you try to follow it too much, I think we as viewers, if we feed into it too much, then they're just going to continue to do it. So I don't know how it's going to stop.
See, this is what you want, and this is what we want. As much as we hate to admit it, but as sports fans, the beauty of sports is that it's a real-life soap opera. And with today's media, with today's information, we want to know everything. We need to know everything. So, you know, it goes back to even gambling. Back in the day with gambling, the person that knew that the star quarterback had just been arrested for a DUI and was suspended for a game was the person that was in the know and had an advantage. And in today's day and age of fantasy football, of gambling, of everything else, we want to know is information. So every little salacious off-the-field detail is something that as sports fans we want to know. I mean, can you imagine just even playing fantasy football, even in a league that isn't for any money? If you know that your star quarterback or your star running back is going to be suspended because you have a guy in whatever that knows that this player did whatever and is going to play this game, you're going to use that to your advantage, and you're going to go out and pick up another quarterback just to win this little BS fantasy football game. This is what we are now as a society, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I see no problems with more information. I am all about more information, even if it is sensationalized.
I think the media infrastructure right now may play more of a role in how we perceive the media and how we consume the stories than just us being, you know, human and wanting to know about what's going on in so-and-so's life. I think that because of the blog sites that are out there, like, I don't know, a BuzzFeed or Huffington Post or whatever, these sites generate hundreds of stories per day. And at some point, you have to start digging for different stories to cover. And if you've already talked about the on-the-field type of conversation when it comes to sort of the pseudo-sports entertainment world, if you've already talked about the on-the-field stuff and you have more page views to fill and more stories to write, at some point you start to turn to the off-the-field stuff. And then that takes on a life of its own. And on Twitter and on Facebook, these stories develop more conversation because it's what people want to know. It's a different form of human interest. So the infrastructure itself, the online media, feeds this because they have to write stories about something. So it's easy to always go back to the off-the-field stuff. Plus, if you think about it, in the NFL, right, you play games traditionally mostly on Sundays, sometimes on Mondays, and on Thursdays, I guess. But let's just say, for the sake of conversation, you play only on Sundays. You have a lot of time to fill in terms of conversation, in terms of page views, between Monday to the very next Sunday. So you have to talk about something. Why not talk about the player off the field, off the court, et cetera, et cetera? And I think it's just the media serving their own agenda in this whole matter.
Yeah, Floyd, let me jump back in there. And let me say, I do agree with you on one point. The one negative that we see with the 24-hour media, with the Twitter media, and certainly with the amateur media that you see on Twitter and Facebook, is the power of the rumor. And the power of the rumor is that a false story can get so much traction, is that you can create a media narrative just by coming up with some total bullshit. You can say, in the case of, you know, any quarterback, that I saw him in the club kissing some guy. You post some picture that kind of looks like this quarterback. All of a sudden, everybody picks it up. And even if it's completely not true, all of a sudden that player has to respond to it. All of a sudden that team has to respond to it. All of a sudden it becomes a story. And that, I will agree, is a problem.
And I guess, Floyd, you talked about the competition in the media for views, for clicks, for advertising, where you have to kind of have that salacious story to draw people in to get that revenue in. Trey, you talked about the curiosity of knowing what your favorite player is doing, you know, the gambling aspect. But isn't there still room, fellas, for privacy, or have we just established now that once you become athlete, coach, GM, that you have pretty much signed away your right to privacy at this point? Is that pretty much what we're doing? Because to me, a lot of what these athletes do in DS, there is some gambling and some type of advantage. But the reality is, 90% of probably what they're doing doesn't have anything to do with what happens on the field of play or on the court. So not only where is the line, I guess? If there's something that we really honestly just do not need to know. Trey, I'll go back after you. You're out there, Hollywood life. How much of this is really, truly important? And how much of this, as a fan, do we really have the right to know?
Honestly, anything that goes outside of the field of play is really of nobody's concern, honestly. The reality is that it's never going to change. We're always going to have somebody reporting in on some off-the-field antics or hearsay or whatever. I would love to see the professional media take a stance and make certain things off-limits. For example, I don't know, players' children or family members, stuff like that, or like when somebody loses, like the whole, let's just take, for instance, like when Adrian Peterson lost his son. You know, I really enjoyed the way the media handled that, and they showed a lot of respect for it. But it could have easily gone south very, very quickly. You know, it was his son at that time was from a woman that he didn't necessarily keep in touch with anymore. He hadn't really seen him in a long time, and it could have easily spun way, way, way out of control. But there was a respect that was given, and I think that's what the media is missing in general. Like, let's take, for instance, the Aaron Rodgers, which is one of the new hot things that's going on right now, and his sex life behind the scenes. You know, it's all speculation and hearsay, but people don't understand that this can directly affect the field of play, how the locker room responds to it. You know, how players respond to homosexuality in today's game is still a really touchy subject, and you just put it out there during a time when people have to respond to their leader without any distractions, it makes it very difficult for somebody to do their job. So I think that there just has to be some form of respect, a common decency. And maybe there should be, I don't know if there is a way that you can find the media. I don't think that's even possible. But maybe some way of discrediting certain type of reporters or calling them out and then making an example of overstepping boundaries needs to happen.
Ron, I think there is a line. Unfortunately, I think we crossed that line many years ago. And when you look at the Twitter media or the blogosphere, the ability of any one person to have a voice and to write pretty much whatever they want, the fact that that exists, to me, keeps us from ever being able to go back to the way it was before. We just can't go back. So I think maybe it is some of the larger voices in the space taking a stand on how things are done to maybe shout down some of the folks who are doing it kind of sideways. But I'm not sure if we can ever go back, quote unquote, because everyone has a voice to say what they want. And unfortunately, a lot of times it goes beyond what is probably comfortable for a lot of the folks involved.
All right, fellas, as we wrap up not only this segment, but the show at large, any last words? Let's do a final call. Media coverage, TMZ, anything you just want to shout out to the people. L.A. Trey, I'll start with you, man.
My shout out goes out to all of our fans, and just to let them know to pay attention more to our blog that we have going out. We've got some pretty good writing and some really good ideas between the four horsemen. And from the looks of it, it's only going to get better and better and better. I'm really excited about it. So stay tuned. Write in. Hit us up on Twitter. It's easy to get access to all of us through Twitter. And we'll try and address everything that you bring to us and make it fresh, new, and from a unique perspective.
My last call is something very similar to that. Let me just say that the toothpaste is out right now. You can't put the toothpaste back into the tube. As was said earlier, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. This is what's happening right now. It's a 24-hour all-access media world. And let's be honest, the Section 357 show is part of the media because of what he just said. We have a podcast, which you're listening to. We have a podcast that goes back to 300-plus shows. We've got blogs. So we're part of the media. So thank you for helping us be part of the media, and we hope to be a different aspect of the media. Of all we talked about on this show, we hope on the Section 357 show that we're providing a different angle from all that you see in the media, knowing that we are part of that media.
And my last call before I send it out to Floyd is make sure you check us out, Twitter heads, at Section 357. Section357.podomatic.com, Section357.wordpress.com, with some of the great writing that Trey talked about.
all types of things going on there. We're everywhere. You know, so when the genie's out of the bottle, we're right there to cover it. Floyd, take us home, man.
Well, guys, as always, I like to show some love to the fans out there. Thank you for hanging out with us. And as everyone else has mentioned, you can find us on Twitter and on our blog. And I think that when it comes to our perspective of sports and entertainment, we're going to try to do things differently here. So our blog is going to be different. Our show is going to be different. And we always appreciate the feedback. So if you're out there listening and something hits a nerve or you get an idea and you want to communicate with us, you can always find us on Twitter at Section 357. With that being said, good luck to you and your favorite athletes and teams and players out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care. Every old president to represent me.